Good morning, sir, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Ron Howard.
Okay, Mr. Howard, if you would just hold on 1 second here, and we will get started with your hearing. Okay, sir. Once again, would you state your name and your ADC number for the record again, sir?
My ADC number is 62341.
Thank you, sir. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and you appearing before the Arizona Board for your hearing, for your parole hearing. You've been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412A, 411, or home arrest. That is for general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. As you, according to information that we have, just some basic information that we have, you're currently serving one sentence, sir, and that is for murder in the first degree, and your sentence began back on January 6, 1987. You became parole eligible on November 1st, 2012, and you are currently serving a sentence 25 to life. Your last discipline would have been in 2016. That would have been February the 2nd in 2016, and that would have been a major for disobeying disorderly conduct. I'm sorry. You also had a disorderly conduct in 2015 as well, and you had obstruction of staff in 15. And I believe that you also show that in 2017 you had a disobey staff, but on that one, that was informally resolved. It was not a major or a minor. You resolved that one within the system itself. Is that information correct so far, sir?
It is.
And we also show, just for the record, that the last time you appeared before this board would have been August 18, 2016, and that would have been for a 412A, 411, or home arrest, and that one you were denied. Also take note that in 2014, according to information that I see, that would have been December the 15th, 2014, you received a 412A general parole, and you were granted that. And on, according to information that I've gleaned, and on, this is May 14, 2015, you had a special hearing and it was revoked. Is that information correct also, sir?
It is correct.
And just for this board, and let me introduce you to the board members, because I believe that we have new board members. Since you were here, except for myself, everyone else is a new board member. So I just want to introduce them to you at this time, sir. To my right, which would be to your left, is the Honorable Mr. Gale Rittenhouse. To my immediate right, that is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. To my left, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And to his left, the Honorable Mr. Neal, Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as panel chair, and I am also chair of the board. And the five of us will be making decisions regarding your future this morning. I would point out, as you are probably already familiar, but some of those who are present today for the first time, the board members have never had an opportunity to discuss this case before. This will be our first time as we are now constituted. And under the open meeting law, everything that we do will be done in public this morning. I would just like to go back, sir, if you would be kind enough, since we do have a new board, and in as much as you were revoked back in 2015, do you recall why you were revoked at that time, or your sentence was revoked?
Yes, sir, I do.
What happened?
Would you like me to reiterate?
Yes, sir.
All right. I was granted conditional parole in December of 2014. And my placement was at TLC facilities at 2202 East Roosevelt Avenue, which is a halfway house. Upon arrival there, I was had placement in a room with three other young gentlemen that were using drugs, heavily drug usage heights. There was garbage in the floor, ragged mattresses. Place hadn't been cleaned in I don't know how long. Part of my condition is that I can't be around any drugs, period, although I don't use drugs, never having 31 years of incarceration, never had a dirty urinalysis test either from the true DOC. I informed the house manager that I would appreciate if I could get a room change, and he asked what the problem was, and I explained it to him. He said, well, I don't like to do room accommodations, and I don't have any vacancies. You may want to search for another halfway house. So I immediately called my parole officer, Mr. Sean Ford, and explained to him what the circumstances was. He later referred me out to the Dream Center, which is basically a six-month training, and you work for the establishment without pay. Okay, now, I didn't have no problem with working for anybody without pay, but I'm ordered to take care of my restitution, which is exactly what I wanted to do, and I got off to a kind of a rocky start with TLC facilities. I take responsibility for my circumstances, not being able to make that particular halfway house work. My intentions was honorable, to go out, get a job, take care of my restitution, and it seems like things kind of belly popped for me, and I later was violated, returned to the Department of Corrections, and like I said, I take responsibility. I should have found a way to clean up after them youngsters and just turned a blind cheek. But I take the condition serious that I'm not supposed to be around people using drugs. I can't have it around me. So I was trying to do the right thing in my mindset. And as I previously stated, I've never used drugs in my entire life. I've never had a dirty urinalysis test in 31 years. I don't use the crap. Okay. And I don't want to be around it. But I've had time to reflect on this a little bit over 2.5 calendar years, Mr. Wright. And I've been in front of you before, sir.
Yes, sir.
And you have a little pre-hand knowledge. I'm 69 years old, and I'm coming to you before this parole board today, respectfully hoping that they might consider looking at me in the area of absolute discharge. I've basically lost all my personal family as deceased, and I wasn't able to attend funerals or nothing because they're out of state. And I have made some progress and found a good halfway house in Phoenix, Arizona that sponsors men going straight to work. They have a 10:30 curfew. They also have in-house programs that you must participate in. They do not allow no drugs, no alcohol beverages. They have a 10:30 p.m. curfew. Now this is a program by Mr. Abel Sombrano Jr., men's program manager. This is a sponsorship that believes in working with people and helping them locate employment right off the bat. And I have my acceptance letter right here. I don't know if you can see it through your monitor. I'm holding it up at this time.
No, sir, but we take your word for it. But what's the name of the program, sir?
House of Refuge at 9835 Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, sir. Let me just go back just for one moment to the reason that you were revoked, or just to get some clarification for new board members as well as for myself. You mentioned TLC. Did you also have a problem with Church on the Street at that time, or that misinterpretation that I have there, sir?
My second day at Church on the Street, I went down and spoke with Mr. Walter Trey's wife, which is the manager of Church on the Street Dream Center, and showed her my impositions on my parole where I have to work and I'm responsible for paying my restitution. She said, well, Mr. Hyatt, you have to work for us for 6 months without pay. And I said, well, I'm going to have to notify my parole officer, because if I don't pay my restitution, then that's a violation. She acknowledged that. So once again, I went back and notified Mr. Sean Ford, my parole officer. He said, well, he said, we'll figure out something. And, it didn't develop. I'm not from the state of Arizona, and I have little knowledge of the state of Arizona, so that was some help that I needed, that this House of Refuge Center offers. They don't just hang out there to dry, they work with you. And like I said, they're not only sponsored, but they believe in men that is employable going straight to work. It's House of Refuge in Sunny Slope, 9835. And they have a 120-day in-house sponsored program that you must participate. And
okay, we understand that, Mr. Howard. I think you explained that to us. Let me just ask, before we go forward, I would just want to point out, because as I indicated, we do have new board members, and you can clarify some of this and correct me on some of this, and board members might have some questions or might want further details. It is my understanding, based upon the pre-sentence report, that the actual offense took place back on January 6, 1987. Shots were fired at Arizona Avenue. That was at a swap meet, and the victim was shot and killed by the defendant, who at that time would have been you if you take responsibility for it, and that there had been some type of dispute that had been going on for around 2 years. And according to information that I saw, that after the shots were fired by you, the witnesses held you until the law enforcement officers came and arrested you, and that you did have some alcohol in your system, 0.16% of alcohol that was found in your system. And that's just a brief summary of what had taken place. We could go into far more details than that, and some board members might want you to go into far more details than that, but is that basically true, and do you take responsibility for that murder, or do you not, sir?
I do take responsibility for that, and that is accurate information that you have there.
Okay, sir. Well, what I'm going to do at this point, I'm going to see if other board members might have questions for you, because as I said, this is the first time that they've had the opportunity to see you, to talk with you, and they can go anywhere from the offense or even before the offense, the criminal record before the offense, all the way up until today. So board members, are there any questions for Mr. Howard? Thank you so very much. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse has questions.
Thank you, Dr. Ray. Mr. Howard, I'm still unclear on how the revocation happened. Why were you revoked? I never have gotten that.
I was revoked for violating condition number 3, ma'am. It's basically unauthorized change of address, and it's one of the 12 impositions that I had signed for previously upon granting parole.
Right.
Anytime the inmate changes addresses,
right,
unauthorized, that's a violation.
So where did you go? That your parole officer didn't know where you were? Is that what happened?
Well, I informed my parole officer, Mr. Sean Ford, and exactly what was going on. That's why he tried placement at the Dream Center, mm-hmm, and without telling me that they have 6 months working for them. And that's where I got into the restitution. How am I going to pay my restitution if I don't maintain gainful employment in society?
So did you move away from the Dream Center? Was that the change?
I did at that time, ma'am.
Okay, so you absconded, essentially.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
How many days were you gone?
15 days.
15? Okay. All right. Thank you. That clears that up for me. Thanks.
Thank
yes,
you,
Dr. Wright.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
So, sir, you were an absconder. How did you wind up get in contact with the police or get revoked, or what happened?
I went and visited one of my daughters that I hadn't seen for 15 years. And later, I notified the sheriff's department and turned myself in. There was no apprehension, nothing. I turned myself in to come back and do the right thing. And that's pretty much right there, sir.
Okay, so you were supposed to be at church on the street. Is that where you were?
That is correct. And I did indeed notify the parole officer that that wasn't going to work. He didn't tell me at this particular time that I could ask for a waiver on the $65 a month for the parole department. And I had just a little bit of restitution that is supposed to be paid to the court system. I don't know if that can be handled with a waiver or not, but my intentions were very honorable of doing the right thing and getting everybody paid and eventually asking the state of Arizona for my absolute discharge. I've served 31 years on this crime, and I'm not trying to justify anything, and I've served it in the best possible format that I can serve it, under the living conditions of being a prisoner in the state of Arizona. I don't see myself as no management problem. I work every day. I try my best not to get in any trouble. I've pioneered to theology courses. I do all that is expected of me, and then some, to try to promote good, clean living. I don't mix in with the crowds. I'm not gang affiliated. I never have been in my entire life. I'm just an older gentleman today that made a serious bad judgment 31 years ago that I'm sorry for. I really truly am sorry for that.
Okay, so when this I'm trying to go through what actually caused this incident to happen when you made the bad judgment. I know that you had been drinking, but what was the reason behind it?
35 years ago, I was not the same person then that I am today. I was out there boosting motorhomes and delivering them to Mr. Art Chapman. He was a four-state ring fence, taking stolen merchandise out of Yuma, Arizona, up into Nevada, up into Oregon back down through California back over to Yuma, Arizona. He was a state ring fence. And I was involved, like I said, with some things that I shouldn't have been involved with. It had nothing to do with drugs. I do not mess with drugs. But at that time, I was a thief. And I'm sorry to say that, but there's no way to sugarcoat that.
Okay.
Mr. Chapman got his mathematics a little bit miscalculated, and when I come to visit Mr. Chapman, he was reaching for a .44 mag pistol. I had no intentions of nobody getting shot.
Okay, so let me ask you one other question. You were already paroled. When you were paroled, were you on home arrest? Were you on a monitor?
No, sir. It was never offered to me. I wouldn't have had no problem with that. When I left the Department of Corrections, February 6th, 2015, I left with minimum points in the classification status. That's the best a prisoner can have when you have minimum points. That shows that you are highly programming, you're working, you have stated goals, which is what I've always worked for, to do the right thing.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Honorable Mr. Kalanis.
Just very quickly, sir, can you hear me?
Yes.
Just want to make sure that I'm clear with the our PA system. Just a quick question, because I was doing some quick math here. You did 25 years of your prison sentence before you were paroled, sir, is that correct?
No, sir, that is not correct. I served 28 calendar years.
28 years.
My 25 years, sir, expired December 2011, and I wasn't granted parole until 2014, and then they took additional 45 days before they released me. I was at Buckley when they released me in February 6, 2015.
I guess what I'm asking is, if my calculations are correct, you were in your 30s when you went to jail, correct, sir?
38, sir.
And you did 28 years in the prison system. I'm just trying to figure out why maintaining the conditions of parole would have been so difficult after such a long period of your adult life in the prison system. And it sounds like you absconded. I heard the story. I listened to everything. It would just seem that you were stating earlier that you were, I guess the expression would be a model prisoner. What happened?
Okay, permissible. Let me go back to the three additional years from the end of my original sentence of 25 calendar years. The three additional years, I was coming up for hearings, but I was being denied. And the very first time I went up was April 2012. I thought my track record and institutional program looked excellent, but apparently it didn't. They didn't deem necessary, and I didn't make a parole until my fifth hearing in front of the Arizona Department of Corrections Parole Board. And I didn't have no living family members. I'm not from the state of Arizona. Some of the men are very fortunate and blessed to have help when they first enter back into society. I was roughing it myself, but doing the best that I could under the advanced conditions that I was thrust into, and still trying to do the right thing. And this is my fourth hearing since reincarceration, and I stated previously, I would ask if it's possible that this honorable board members could look at me for absolute discharge. I'm 69 years young, and I still have my health, and I'm blessed there. And if I'm granted parole again, I like to work towards something that is called DI-339, which is an absolute discharge. It was previously signed in December of 2015 by Mr. Charles Ryan, Director of Corrections, where an inmate has good programming for 1 year. He can make application and ask for his absolute discharge. This didn't come about to December 2015. But that's my ultimate goal, is to work and save up as much money as I can. And then if I'm granted my absolute discharge, I can go home. I've got personal family members back here. I would like to be able to visit. I wasn't able to, like I said, things happened so fast out there and went a little bit haywire. But that's my ultimate goal, is to get an absolute discharge and return home. I'm from the Midwest. I'm from Missouri. And so that's very, very much worth working for.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kouvanis, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Sorry, Dr. Rene.
No, please go ahead.
Two more questions that come
up. Yes, ma'am. Mr.
Howard, I'm looking at your discipline record, and it's a little bit sketchy. We just get the name of the the actual violation. And there are three. There's one in 2015, one in 2013, one in 2012 for refusing to program. Now, what were you refusing? What program?
Okay, at that particular time where they had me living with an assortment of people that was disenchanted, didn't want to be there, looking for any way they could get reclassified, transferred to other institutions. That was kind of the environment that I was living in. That was handled as disorderly conduct, ma'am.
So those three violations were actually just, it wasn't a specific program that you were saying, no, I don't want anything to do with that.
Pretty much, ma'am. It falls under the classification guidelines, and right or wrong, you're expected to follow that format. And without much objection, and that's pretty much was what happened with the violations.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we get just a vague title, and it doesn't really tell us anything about what really happened. My other question is, you said when you had been released on parole last time that you went to visit your daughter. Where was your daughter?
My daughter, Sarah, was living in Modesto, California, ma'am.
Okay, so you went to California then, but you didn't mention that to your parole officer. Right, that's when you...
I did not mention that to my parole officer, but I can tell you this. I did mention it to the sheriff's department out there when I turned myself in to come back
right.
to do the right thing.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Inhouse. Any further questions at this time from board members? Just a couple of observations, sir. Mr. Howard, I do take note that recently, well, since you've been reincarcerated, you have had, I believe, we show in your progress report that you had four programs or four classes of counseling. And your last one would have been in November of last year, November 16. So are you currently in any programs or counseling or anything of that nature at this time, sir?
I participate in any and all programs that that I'm invited to. Many years ago, I completed all the NA substance abuse programs and AA on a voluntary that was not mandated. I volunteered and completed a smart recovery. Completed family programming, counseling, the one you mentioned previous there, voluntarily. And participate in any programs that I can get involved in and selected to. Okay. I work every day. And
what do you do? What kind of work do you do, sir?
I'm on the fence crew here at Barcy Unit, which is a level 3 facility, and I can be called on to do anything from painting the units or cleaning on and yard details, phones, journals, anything. I'm just kind of like a handyman. And right now we have a building here that is under renovation. Inmates are painting and remodeling tile work and stuff. And so I have no problem doing anything they ask me to do.
Okay, then I would just make an assumption, which may or may not be correct. Although you're 69 years of age, you must be in pretty good health in as much as you spend time working at this time, sir. Am I correct?
I am in good health. I'm blessed. I'm in very good health, and I've still got about 80% of good eyesight, and I don't take no forms of it, no kind of medications. I don't need nothing. I exercise out daily on the recreation yard when I'm not working, and I like to think for my age, I'm in very good health.
Okay, let me just ask a couple of other questions. Now, you said that, and I may have the wrong title, but you said you wish, if this board were to release you at this time, that you wish to go to, I think it's the Living House or Refuge, is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir, that is correct. It's at 9835 North 7th Street.
Yes, sir. Now, why did you select that particular halfway house, sir?
That was recommended. We have self-help programs up here, and that was recommended that it's a clean halfway house that sponsors and maintains men working full employment, and you have it's basically a faith-based Christian facility, but they sponsor men being productive and empower men to get their lives in order, full-time employment, and taking care of themselves, which is exactly what I was looking for. They don't want no SSI inmates, which I don't have no problem with that. I want to work and support myself. Okay, I'm still healthy. I don't need SSI.
I understand quite well. Let me just ask another question and then make one comment. My other question would be, in as much as you were revoked, just recently, I think it was, 2015, what would you tell this board? How would you convince this board? How would you convince me as a board member that I should vote to put you back on parole? You asked for absolute discharge, but you're certified for general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. But how would you convince this board, in as much as you did violate, you were revoked, sir. You absconded, sir. So how would you convince this board to let you out in your own words, not with what the textbooks might say? But what would you tell us, sir?
Well, at this time, I would try to appeal to these honorary board members to grant me a second chance, because I'm not really a bad person, and I'm speaking for the man that you're speaking with today and looking at, a man that is fully rehabilitated, fully responsible, and can live in a free society, and that's what I would say to you, Dr. Wright, and other honorary board members. I'm not a management problem. I'm a man that has served my time in the best dignified way I can serve it. I don't sit here and say that I haven't had some institutional problems along the way. I don't know how any inmate could live in the Arizona Department of Corrections without stumping his foot once in a while, with consideration going toward the type and caliber of people that we're confined with. But I don't have involvement and no select involvement with people that's doing wrong. As I had previously stated, I have no gang affiliations. I don't have no drug affiliations. I don't use the crap. I don't even want it around me. And I'm doing everything that is expected from a responsible inmate to the best of my abilities. I am a Christian, and I don't like to promote that too much because people sometimes might take the wrong ideal that this man is trying to lean on this or that crutch. But I promote myself when it comes to my own religion. I'm Pentecostal. I go to church on my own accord. Nobody is making me. I do the right things that is right with me, that I feel right about. And it works for me. And 31 years incarcerated in Arizona Department of Corrections, and I can't balance nothing out. I did something that was wrong. I made a very bad decision. I wish I could, I wish the Lord I could turn it around, that it never happened. But I was a different caliber person back then. I was a lot younger, a lot dumber, and I've had a lot of time to grow up, and that's exactly what I have done. And And that's about all I say, Dr. Wright.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. I would just for the record, I would just indicate to you, we do have a letter, that is the Board of Executive Currency has a letter from the Yuma County Attorney's Office dated October 4th, 2017, which basically is opposed to the release at this juncture. This is a quote. Based on the facts of the murder and the record, Howard has complied both before and after committing murder, a record evidencing occasional outbursts of violence. The state is not inclined to recommend parole. Just wanted to put that on record since all board members has a copy of that particular letter dated as of October the 4th. Once again, well, before I ask for final statements from board members, is there anyone present today who wishes to speak on behalf of Mr. Howard? Anyone? I don't have anyone on the list, but is anyone present who wishes to speak on his behalf? Third time, anyone present wish to speak on his behalf? Seeing no one present wish to speak on his behalf. Board members, before we have a final statement from Mr. Howard, are there other questions that any board member would like to raise with Mr. Howard at this time? Any questions? I hear none at this time. Mr. Howard, this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board without repeating yourself. And what else you would like to tell the board, we are prepared to listen before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. So at this time, anything else you want to tell the board, sir?
Yes, sir, Dr. Wright. I'd like to go back to your statement right there about the letter from the Yuma Prosecutorial Office. I'm not from the state of Arizona, sir. I've never been back to Yuma, don't have no desire to ever be back in Yuma, and neither was Mr. Chapman from Yuma, Arizona. He was a four-state named Penn, and I just wanted to get that inserted there. I don't know, I started these poll hearings, sir, back in April 2012, and why a gentleman would wait 5 years later to send that kind of a letter. And I don't have no connection with Yuma. I've never been back to Yuma, never will be. And but that's where I was meeting Mr. Chapman, and when he was taking charge of the delivery motor homes and stuff. And I would like to switch channels here and go back to appealing to this honorary board members to please consider a reinstatement of my parole and granting me another chance. I can make things right and live the way I'm supposed to live, because I got some people here who's willing to work with me now. And
so much, Mr. Howard. At this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. Once we've completed this discussion, the board will vote and make its determination known at that point. So please stay on the phone, and the board now is in discussion. Is there a board member who wishes to lead off this discussion? Yes, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse.
Yes, sir. Fellow board members, I appreciate very much Mr. Howard's concern about paying his restitution. I think that's very honorable of him to be so concerned about that, paying his restitution, being able to pay his parole fees and such. Sounds like he's very responsible in that way. I cannot get get passed, although I'm working on it, the fact that he not only absconded parole, but actually left the state and it says he told his parole officer, but kind of once you've left, there's not much you can do to take that back. And what's bothering me is that, and evasive isn't the right word, but not seeming to supply us all the details. It took 3 times asking of exactly how he came to be revoked. And it just concerns me that we had to probe that much just to get the answer, and then finally still never said that, oh, my daughter, by the way, was in California. So on the other side, it's not the most vehement letter that I've heard from a county. It's not a very, they're requesting no parole, but it's not one of the strongest written letters I've seen. I'd like to hear more what my fellow board members are thinking, but something very restrictive, like home arrest, maybe, for this candidate, but maybe others have heard something that I didn't hear. So that's how I would start the discussion. Dr. Ray.
Thank you. Honorable Mr. Collins, sir.
Yes. This is an interesting case when you add it all together. I'm with my colleague, Ms. Rittenhouse, pardon me, when it comes to his history after being paroled and absconding. I think it's uncomfortable for me. I'm almost thinking, very similarly, I'm open to a home arrest option, but I will say, for the sake of discussion, I'm concerned about his success under home arrest because of things like programming and resources. I'm not sure what his options are coming out that are a good fit for him. Should this board vote in that direction? But that's where I'd like to continue the discussion.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Honorable Mr. Johnson.
I'm kind of along the same boat, but I think that when he was released, he should have been released on home arrest. I think he just had a little bit too much freedom before he had the opportunity to get acclimated and work with his PO. He did go to the halfway house. He was to go to another halfway house, and he absconded. I think Ms. Rittenhouse is absolutely right. He did abscond and go to California to go visit his daughter. However, it doesn't appear that he was committing any other crimes other than the absconding. But we actually don't know what he was doing in that period of time. However, I am favorable of him going to a home arrest situation where there's a monitor and there's more control over what he does as he tries to make the readjustment back into society. He seems to be pretty knowledgeable about what he wants to do or what he's done. He's taken some classes. I don't remember what the exact wording was that he came out with a minimal. Ms. Rittenhouse, what is it? A minimal something score for being released?
Minimal classification.
Oh, his classification.
Yeah, minimal classification for being released. So I'm assuming that's why he got the parole instead of the home arrest. But he's going to need something. He has no family here, no one here. So I think the home arrest will give him the opportunity to have the ability to have someone monitor and help him and put him in programming so that he can adjust. And if he makes it at some point in time, he'll come back before this board to discuss an absolute discharge.
Thank you so very much, sir. Honorable Mr. Neal.
I tend to agree with my colleagues. Seems that he's found a more suitable halfway house that he found it, which is always a good point for the inmate. And with a little bit of halfway house and home arrest, I think I would be agreeable to grant you home arrest.
Thank you, Thank you so very much. We're pointing out the fact that because he, if this board decides to vote for home arrest, because he has made application and been accepted to this halfway house, there is no guarantee that he would be placed at that halfway house. This would be a decision for the Department of Correction. They would make that decision. We, as a board, would not make that decision, and he would not have the opportunity to make that decision. He would make his recommendation, but the Department of Correction would make that decision, his parole office. I think that from my perspective, I hear what my distinguished colleagues are saying, and I really respect what they're saying. I'm still concerned the fact that he left the state of Arizona. When one is on parole, home arrest, absolute discharge, or even if they are on anything, they're not allowed to leave the state unless they get a get permission from the parole officer. And in his case, unless he would have gotten, which he, I'm assuming he never applied for it, you know, to leave the state of Arizona. He indicates that his family is back east, back in Missouri, that he could have easily applied for a interstate compact. Apparently he did not apply for an interstate compact, and he could have gone to Missouri if he was granted an interstate compact, but apparently he did not. Apparently he did not apply for an interstate compact to go to California. He just picked up and walked away, and that is a concern. However, as some board members have pointed out, the fact that maybe the board was not strict enough in terms of the decision, and I'm not going to prejudge what the decision that the board made when he was released. None of us were on the board at that time. I was not on the board when he was initially released. I was on the board when he was revoked, but I was not on the board when he was initially released. Maybe I was on the board, yeah, because he was released December 15th of 2014. Therefore, I would have been on the board when we granted him that release. I also had been on the board when he was revoked, and that's why I find myself in a precarious situation. That's why I asked board members to make their comments first, because I've been on both sides of this particular gentleman. But inasmuch as listening to board members at this point in time, I am going to make a motion, because I heard what the board members have recommended, and I am therefore I'm going to move to grant Mr. Howard home arrest. All of the conditions, of course, that's applicable for home arrest, and that is my motion, and then we can talk about some of the reasons, reasons for the grant of this home arrest, but that is my motion at this point in time, is based upon the discussion of board members to grant home arrest.
Agreed.
And we got to vote first. Who's second? Oh, you second. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for seconding it. And I think I made the motion. And Mr. Neal agreed. Mr. Kiwanis, Ms. Rittenhouse agreed. Therefore, we can place her on home arrest. And I think you know that in home arrest, and I'll just make this comment, in home arrest, you're still at the will and pleasure of the Department of Corrections. You know, you don't have total freedom on home arrest. And I think that sometimes that's misunderstood, that you will have your total freedom, but that you report at all times, your parole officer must know where you are at all times, and you get, and if you deviate, then you are returned to be incarcerated. Home arrest, that you must follow all mandatory DOC conditions on home arrest. I think, and I'm going to check this unless I hear otherwise, you're going to need an assessment, referral, counseling, vocational education if necessary. You will be random tests, although I know you say you don't, but just to be on the safe side, for the protect the citizens of the state of Arizona, random test for drugs and alcohol. Initially, unless until you get permission from the from your PO not to operate a motor vehicle, because having been incarcerated that long, I think it's going to take some time. And the PO would monitor your finances, because you said that you want him. He stated that he wishes to pay his restitution, and if he's going to do that, then I think that there needs to be some. Of course, we don't know who they are, where the family is at this time, but no contact with the victim's family or once he's on home arrest. And of course, as has already been said, he must, that depends upon the court system, he must pay that restitution. And we would recommend a halfway house, but not which halfway house. We cannot make that recommendation. He would be paying for supervision fee $65 per month, beginning after 60 days, which would be 2 months. He would be required to start paying that supervision fee. Is there any other things that need to be listed under home arrest? Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Wright, is this the type of release where we need to check finances, that he has 2 months?
We need to check, the DOC would check finances to make sure that he has two months of resources in his account. And right. If not, then he would not be released. But that, yes, thank
okay.
you for the money.
So that we do need to mention.
The DOC would check that. Yes, okay. Ma'am. Thank you. Any other things that needs to be added? Hearing nothing else at this time, Mr. Howard, do you think you can deal with those conditions, sir?
Yes, sir. I absolutely can.
Okay, so well, we wish you the best, and in about 6 months from now, we'll be talking with you again, because when you're on home arrest, you do come back before the board, and so that we can see how much progress or lack of progress you've made. So good luck.
Will I be free up there at my halfway house, or will I still be incarcerated, sir?
You will be free in your halfway house once they find a halfway house for you, sir. You will be free. I don't want to use the word free. You will reside in a halfway house, not in turn. You will not be incarcerated in prison, sir.
Okay, sir. I'd like to say thank you. God bless all the members. And any idea when I might be going down to this halfway house?
No, sir. That's something that you're going to have to work out with your CO3 and with the Department of Corrections. We have no idea whatsoever. It can range anywhere from 10 days to weeks or to months, depending upon what needs to be done. We do not control that. We have no control over that at all, sir. So to start working with your CO3, you can start working with your CO3 today, and then y'all can start working on it and see what needs to be done and see how much progress or lack of progress that is, or how long it will take, sir.
All right, Dr. Wright, once again, thank each and every member there, and God bless all of you.
And I want to say this, sir. Please, sir. Please, sir. Please, sir. Don't let us down again. Amen. You let us down before, so please, sir. Please, sir.
It won't happen again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so
much. I promise you.
Thank you so much.
I promise you.
Yes, sir. Your hearing is over, and please put the CO3 back on the phone, sir.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.